Stand up for it. Stand for truth. Speak it. But never allow evil to become part of you. Never allow injustice to surrender to hatred. Never affirm something you don't agree with. And I'm telling you, you need to speak the truth without losing humility. There's something about the disciple of Christ who is not naive.
Welcome to the Beverly Boulevard Foursquare Church. It's Sunday, February 8th, 2026. Pastor Zoni is speaking. Today's message is entitled, The Sermon on the Plain. And our text comes to us from Luke chapter 6, verses 20 through 26. And now, here's Pastor Zoni.
Well, again, I will abide by my commitment to make it short so that you can go see Boca play, and I'll do my best. But if the Spirit takes over, that's it. Whatever that means, you know. So, well, I hesitated this morning in bringing all of this to you, but I said, oh, why not? I think that what I'm about to present to you is born out of reality, real reality. Questions and fatigue and longing to live maybe even more faithfully in complicated times. And what I will attempt to do this morning is not to bring to you slogans or a bunch of noise, but hopefully, with the Lord's help, let's see how we can inhabit the kingdom of God with integrity. How do we live with integrity? So I am going to go to Luke chapter 6, which is the Sermon on the Mount, but it's really the Sermon in the Plain. And I'll explain that as we go on. Luke chapter 6, verse 20. We see it in the screen. Looking at his disciples, he said, Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you would laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day. I like to complain, but Jesus says rejoice. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy. I like to see you guys leaping right now. Okay. Because great is your reward in heaven. For that is how their ancestors treated their prophets. Before you go to the next verse, so far, so good. Very much like the Sermon in the Mount of Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. But look what happens in verse 23. Let's move on. But woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your comfort. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you will go hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when everyone speaks well of you, for that is how the ancestors treated their false prophets. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Whoa. Well, Jesus gave us the Sermon in the Mount, and then he gives us a sermon in the plain. And the reason he gave us this Sermon on the Mount is because he wanted you and I to have a manual, wanted you and I to know how to live the Christian life. And Jesus gave this sermon in the Mount and in the plain, not because the world was ready for it. He gave it because the world was not ready to hear the words of Christ. Sometimes we read in Matthew 5 through 7, and we hear Jesus speaking about how we're supposed to live. We say it's beautiful. We say it's wonderful. But some of us say it's disconnected with reality. But no, it's not. It addresses the issues that make us into followers of Jesus Christ. Let me reassure you, let's see if I can say this right without offending anybody here. Jesus wasn't dumb, okay? Jesus was not naive. Jesus was bright, is bright. There's nobody more intelligent than Jesus. And when he spoke, he knew the world he was speaking into. When Jesus spoke, he knew the systems. He knew the human heart. And he still gave us the manual. He gave us the Sermon on the Mount and the Sermon on the Plain. So when you look at Matthew 5 through 7, you see this as the manual for the inner life of the disciple, how you are constructed inside, how you are to lay in your heart to God for God to work in your life. I mean, Christianity is not getting saved. Christianity is living for God. And it begins the moment Christ comes into your life. Matthew tells us that Jesus went up to the mountain and his disciples came to him. And here, Jesus begins to speak about a formation of inner character. It's not a program for social control, and it's not a strategy for winning culture wars. It's a manual for spiritual formation, how you are constructed inside. What are the bricks and mortar that makes you into a woman, into a man of God? He addresses the inner life, goes right into your heart and into my heart. He talks about the heart. He talks about our motives. Whoa. He talks about our hidden self. He speaks about our imagination, what we think about. And then he says, blessed are the poor. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. This is not about appearances, my brothers and sisters. It's about who the disciple is becoming, who you are becoming, who you and I are becoming. Jesus speaks clearly to systems. He speaks to souls. Before he addresses things out there, he addresses things in there. He addresses your soul, your life, because he knows something very essential. That you cannot live right in the world when your inner life is unformed, or shall I say deformed. Something is wrong with us, and that's what sin did in our lives. We became deformed. But Christ comes and he reconstructs your inner self. We're new creatures. We reconstruct our lives. And so when Jesus speaks now in Luke 6, which would be the plain of reality, or the sermon in the plain, he tells us something extremely striking. He comes down from the mountain, stands on a level plain, and he begins to speak with a changed tone. He meets reality in a way in which you thought Christ was not able to. Because sometimes we make Christ so spiritual, so heavenly minded, of no earthly value. But he speaks right where we live. And Luke records the blessings and also the woes. He says, blessed are you who are poor, but woe to you who are rich. Follow me, please. Blessed are you who weep now, but woe to you who laugh now. They are not cruel words, brothers and sisters. They are very sharp words, words that speak not as a curse, but as a lament. It means like, oh my goodness, how sorry I am for you, because what the type of life you're living does not lead to wholeness, does not live to a construction that you can inhabit the kingdom of God. It leads to a life of selflessness, and that is not accurate for the Christian life. The woes are warnings. They expose false security. Listen carefully. False security. Lives that are built on wealth, money, dinero. You know what that is. Lives that are built on comfort. Lives that are built with approval. Lives that are built on self-sufficiency instead of trusting God. There's a vast difference between being blessed by God with wealth, with comfort, with approval. And there's another way to live life when you secure those things in spite of God addressing life issues in your life. Luke's sermon is very clear. God knows that there will be people and there will be entities that are going to work against his way. I want to be wealthy. God says he will bless you, but you want wealth coming the way you put it together. I want to have comfort. And God says, I have a way for you to be in comfort. I want to be approved. God says, I will show you how you can be approved. I want to, and you know, if you follow what the Lord says about those conditions of life, he will be blessed. But those who do it their own way, their own practical way, God will not bless. And God is not blind to rebellion in the heart that says, I'm going to live the way I want to, and I don't want God intervening in my personal life. I gave my heart to Jesus. I'm going to go to heaven. Leave me alone. That's not how it works. So God gives you and I a manual for living, discipleship living, knowing well that many people will reject it, that many people will not follow it. There is such a thing as saying no to God. There's such a thing as having the Lord close to you and say, no, I'm not going to do this. When the Lord speaks to your heart and you say no. And so Jesus says, woe to you. Woe to you. You're going the wrong path. Woe to you. You think you got it made. You think you found a clause, a loophole. Woe to you. Woe to you. So Jesus gives us a Sermon on the Mount, and he tells us why it exists. It exists so that you will live a life that prospers, a life that is beautiful, a life that is meaningful, a life that is contagious to others. You inhabit the presence of God in your life. And yet many other people will fight you when you want to serve the Lord that way. And, you know, Jesus clearly said it. You're going to find opposition to your lifestyle. You're going to have people who say, I don't want to live that life, and I don't want you to live that life. I want to be rich. I want to be my own man, my own woman, my own everything, instead of submitting to the Lord's will in your life so that you can live the life that God promises, which is life abundant, by the way. So when you see that opposition, when you see opposition coming around you, remember how you are to face it and how you are to insist. You are to love your enemies. When the world says, hate them, knock them. I have been guilty of thinking many times, burn them. Of course, I'm the only honest person in this room. But again, then there are people who will needle you and push you and make your life difficult. Well, pray for those who persecute you. Well, where does the burn come? When can I just do away with them? When can I whack them? You don't whack them. That is to say, you live for God in such a way that you love your enemies, you pray for those who persecute you, and you bless those who curse you. In other words, Jesus understood that there were going to be people against your lifestyle, a lifestyle that you picked and you've addressed from God, and God has indicated you are to live. You are to live out the Sermon on the Mount in spite of those pushing you against it. You're going to have a pushback from the world. You're going to have pushback sometimes from the very Christians around you because they're ill-informed. Well, discipleship is not reactive. It's formative. And I'm saying to you that the Lord works in mysterious ways. The kingdom of God is like leaven. You don't see it, but it operates. You put leaven in the dough, and you walk away, and then it's big. You can't watch it getting big, but it gets big. God's kingdom in your life becomes broader and greater and bigger, and it fills everything about you. People will mock you, will put you down, will say, don't do it that way, but you follow it. And Jesus is very clear. I know you're going to have opposition to this life. Jesus is not naive. Jesus is not understanding. He knows there's going to be a pushback. So the idea of naming reality, the idea of living for God, a life that is given to God and a life that is not in control, where you say, Lord, you're in control of my life. Lord, possessions are important, but you are the one that dictates possession. Lord, I'm not looking for reputation. I'm looking for serving you. And Lord, as far as self-sufficiency is concerned, Lord, I cannot flourish when I do all of that on my own. I need to develop a lifestyle that submits itself to you. And yet I will have people who will challenge that and will try to put me down and say, you're living the wrong life. I'm here to affirm you that the Lord wants to bless you and to strengthen you by living the life of the kingdom. So when you see the, again, chapter 6 of Luke, you find this Beatitudes that explain about the flourishing in the kingdom. And then those woes of people who will never be able to flourish. You will not be able to make it right. You will live miserable lives if you think that you can mangle or handle or reorient God or reshuffle God's processes. No, you cannot, quote, outwit God. You cannot make something out of what God says it is. Well, God is not excluding you this morning, my brothers, my sisters. He's just saying that that attitude is incompatible with the blessings he has in store for you. That there is a way in which you are going to be blessed and strengthened. It's his way, not your way. Amen. And so in Christian life, we get saved, we know the Lord, and then we devise our own gospel, our own way of doing things, and we avoid completely what God is installing us and asking us to do. So Jesus says, woe to you. Woe to you. Ah, I'm sorry about you. That's not how you live in my kingdom. Well, this is, again, the place where everybody's supposed to stand and clap and say hallelujah, but you're not going to do that. So let me just say to you that the tone of the Lord is very clear. And the logic is very clear. You cannot live like the world and expect the blessings of God's kingdom. You cannot do it just your way. It has to be his way in all the areas inside of your heart. Because that's where God looks in. He looks inside of your heart. You can fool people. You can fool many people. I know I've been fooled many times. But the Lord looks at you and he says, you can't fool me. And he looks at you and he looks at me. And God sees the imbalance. But God is not fooled by appearances. God's kingdom does not operate by the world's reward system. It is different. It's a different posture. It's a different lifestyle. It's amazing when we're supposed to love our enemies. It's amazing when we pray for those who persecute us. It's amazing that we're to bless those who curse us. It's contrary to everything that we know. That's God's kingdom. God's way of working and forming in you, Jesus himself. I mean, I ask you, what evil did Jesus do? And yet they crucified him. They persecuted him. They tried to make his life as miserable as possible. And he retrieved and went into prayer and sought God and healed the sick. He did not have a vindictive item in his being. He was the love of God personified. So you and I need to live as members of God's kingdom. And we live in a time of injustice and a time of turmoil, not just in the world as we know it, but in our own homes and in our own lives and in our own existence. There's pushback to say, serve the Lord. There's a pushback to say, Jesus loves you. There's a pushback to saying, I want to live for the Lord and I want the Lord to be honored in my life, in my choices, in my decisions, in my commitments. I'm not going to do what is wrong. I'm going to do what pleases God. And that's living in the kingdom. That's not taking responsibility for your success by giving it to God. That's taking a step in the right direction for the blessings of God to say, let the Lord do his thing. And he does it. You trust the Lord and rely not on your own understanding, and he will bless you. How he does it, I have no idea. But he does. And God has ways in working in your life and my life that defeat logic. Because we are surrounded by a logic of a world system, a system that is often, if not all the time, unjust, unjust and full of turmoil. I mean, we live in a time of great upheaval, socially, culturally, nationally, and we see injustices to the right and to the left. And injustice feels like it's entrenched in society. Like things are not being done the right way. Things are wrong. We hear voices that are horrible, screaming and yelling, outrage. It's like it's this dismembered thoughts. I mean, just watch the news. No, don't watch the news. Systems that resist righteous living, where what has always been wrong is right now, it's correct, and what used to be bad is good. I mean, it's amazing. Temptation to harden the heart. I mean, I remember listening or hearing in the radio back home the murder of somebody, and we were shocked. Today, murder is like anything. Rape is like anything. Those things should shock us, and yet our consciences have been hardened because of the system that we're living in, the world that we're living in. And the pull is very strong for you and for me to maybe fight injustices using the tools of those who do injustices. And in your own family setting, in your own walk with Jesus, family members and people around you do things that are wrong, and you want to retaliate the same way they've gotten to you. Don't do that. Again, love them, pray for them, minister to them. Don't use the weapons of darkness to try to bring light into their lives. Jesus calls you and me to something deeper. And I'm always amazed at how the Lord does this in your life and in my life. He does not deny injustice to justice to you. He's asking you to address it from your place of living under his kingdom. The way you take care of business in your life is you pray and you put coals over their head. You pray for God to do the work, and you in by you doing that, you don't go to your own physical activities, but you allow the Lord to work it through. Now, it doesn't mean that you are not to be understanding that they're doing things wrong to you, because when someone's doing something wrong, you know they're doing something wrong, and you will respond to it, but you respond with prayer and with love. And yet, you don't let yourself become a rug. You sometimes stay away from people who criticize you and put you down. But in your inner life, you're praying for them, and you're sustaining them in the presence and the power of the kingdom of God in your life. That means, my brothers and sisters, that when you and I face injustices like we see them today in your own life, even in the social realm of today, that means that there will be moments when God will have to work in a way that is supernatural. And it's supernatural because the Lord in his greatness is showing you different ways to do things. Things that are not accustomed to you. Things that exist under the purview of God's directing in your life. So you resist los chismosos. You resist the good for nothings, you resist the abuse without becoming it. You don't duplicate what they're doing. You look at injustice and you name injustice without surrendering to hatred. Oh, it's so easy. I mean, you would say, really? Oh, yeah. It's so easy to dislike and to pronounce people out of your sphere of influence. It's you. Almost to the point of hatred. Instead of doing that, you name the injustice, but you don't surrender to hatred. You say, this is wrong. This is wrong. But you are not hating them. You stand firm without abandoning love, speaking the truth in love. I'm not talking or speaking about, let anything happen to you, just bow your head and say, I'm suffering for Jesus. No, stand up. Have a vertebrae. Stand up for it. Stand for truth. Speak it. But never allow evil to become part of you. Never allow injustice to surrender to hatred. Never affirm something you don't agree with. And I'm telling you, you need to speak the truth without losing humility. There's something about the disciple of Christ who is not naive. El cristiano no es menso, es manso. The Christian needs to understand that he can resist injustices and can stand and say, that's wrong, by showing the way you really live. You know, I Dr. Darino is signaling me, telling me it's time to quit, so we're gonna quit. He controls the sermon now, so. Two houses and one storm. Jesus ends both sermons, the one in chapter 5 and 5 through 7, Sermon on the Mount, and chapter 6 in Luke. And he talks about two houses that were built. And there were two foundations, different foundations. But it's the same storm, the storm of life. The storm is never the problem. It's assumed. You're going to have storms in your life. All of us are going to have storms. None of us are excluded from storms. How many of you are going through a storm now? I can sense some of you with the storm. You came kind of stormy. Going through a storm. All right? The difference, brothers and sisters, is not who avoids the storm or who avoids the suffering of the storm. The difference is who has been deeply enough to stand the storm, who has been deeply formed to stand the storm. Because you're going to have the storm. You're going to be railroad, so to speak. You're going to have things wrong going on in your life. How do you stand? You stand because your foundation is on God's kingdom and God's word. One house collapses because its foundation was shallow. You tried to do things your way. I love that song. I did it my way. Let Frank Sinatra sing that. You sing another song. I did it his way. Not my way. His way. And when you do it his way, you will stand the storms of life. But when you do it your way, I guarantee that your foundation is shallow and it will fall. So when we're saying what we're saying here this morning, or what I tried to convey this morning, is that there's going to be people that are going to push back on the way you want to live for God. And the only way to push back is by living from the kingdom and not retaliating the same way they fought you. And whatever is going on in your life, you need to commit it to the Lord. And you do make sure that what that storm comes your way, as it may very well be, that your foundations are secure. And your foundations are secure when you say, I'm going to trust and I'm going to obey the Lord. I'm going to follow his principle. I am not going to use carnal weapons. I'm not going to use the weapons of the world to fight the world. I'm going to be a Christian who lives in the kingdom of God. And from the kingdom of God, I am going to defeat the enemy, or the enemy will be defeated because I'm trusting in the Lord. A foundation that comes with understanding that the Lord is working in our lives. So the Sermon on the Mount, brothers and sisters, in chapter 5 and 7, teaches us how to live before God. And the Sermon on the Plain reminds us that God knows what the world is all about. He knows what you're going through. He knows how people are not trusting him and they're trusting on themselves. And he says, ay, 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 woe of you. You trust on yourself, woe of you, woe of you, woe of you. God knows the world we live in, and you're going to have pushback, and you're going to have opposition, and you're going to be challenged. You're going to be told, don't do that. But as you follow the Lord, you will find that you can live the kingdom of God anyway, in spite of the persecution, in spite of the negligence of others, in spite of the criticism of others. You can make a stand. You can live it when justice is delayed. Because I'm going to tell you, some of us are going to go through life with justice delayed. You're not going to be made right. You're going to suffer those penalties. You're going to carry them. You're going to go down often with people thinking wrong about you. But you can live it anyway because the Lord is in your life and in your heart. And you are responsible to the audience of one, which is the Lord. You need to live the kingdom of God even when you're abused. Because sometimes we are abused in our family circles. We're abused by people who are closest to us. But you and I need to know that we can live in spite of that disparity that we find in our walk with the Lord. We need to live it when obedience costs you something. When all of a sudden, you got to make that choice. And you make the choice of serving and following the Lord, it's going to cost you something. You do it anyway, even if it costs you something. Because if you don't. Going the other way, you don't make it in life. So discipleship, brothers and sisters, is not about controlling the world. It's about being faithfully formed in God's world. Being faithfully formed by the Lord. Knowing that those issues in life, yes, at times there will be injustice and turmoil. But the most radical thing that you can do is to continue to live and never compromise with the world. Never say yes to the world, but say yes to the Lord. Even when things are against you, just stick to the values that God has spoken to you. Believe that the Lord is the way, the truth, and the life. Don't allow the lies of the enemy to balbuzzle you and to cause you to do something that you know it's wrong to begin with. You as a Christian, you need to know Christ knows the world you're living in. He knows exactly where you are. He knows the price you have paid. But he also reminds you that he also paid a price to enable you to be successful in the life according to the standards of God's kingdom. So when people are against you, say, oh, yeah, well, that's right. They're supposed to be that way. Jesus was not naive when he spoke to us and told us to love our enemies. He knew you were going to have enemies. I mean, I know you look pretty good from here. How could you possibly have enemies? I never thought I had enemies until I found out that somebody showed up. And we all have people that don't like us. We all have people that push us against us. The Lord knows about this, and he says, pray for them. I didn't think I was going to get persecuted, but we are going to be persecuted in different ways. In different means. We live in an evil world, and society is not for us. It's against us. But we live for the kingdom of God and from the kingdom of God so that his name will be glorified in every area of our lives. What area? Well, let's begin with just your own personal life. Are you right with God? Have you said yes to what God is saying to you today? What about your marriage? How is that coming under the covering of the Lord Jesus and his love? What about your children? How are they behaving? How are they working with you? What about all of us in different positions of society and positions of social rendering? How is that working out? How is that being processed? How is God's kingdom being there? In your job, do people know you're a Christian, or do you hide it somehow, some way? Yeah, they know I am, but I'm not really making noise, you know. Do you take your Bible to work? Do you pray before you have lunch? Do you do those things that normally detect the fact that you are a Christian and that you are a kingdom kid and not just one of the regular people in the mill? Well, Lord Jesus, we thank you because we can come to you as your people. And we as your people, Lord, we live between the mountains and the plains. But Lord, we ask you that we will be formed by your word. And yet, Lord, we're surrounded by a world that resists. Lord, you see what we see, Lord. You see the wounds and the power of silences and the systems that reward what your kingdom does not bless. Lord, nothing is hidden from you. Nothing surprises you. We are surprised, but you're not, Lord. And yet, Lord, in spite of you knowing all of that, you still call us to follow you. And so, Lord, sometimes we grow weary, Lord. And sometimes, Lord, there's anger inside of us. And we feel like that's easier than faithfulness, Lord. And oftentimes bitterness comes in and obedience, Lord, becomes costly. Oh, Lord Jesus, guard our hearts so that in resisting evil, we don't become what we oppose. Form us inwardly, Lord. Shape our desires. Shape our desires, Lord. Train our reflexes, Lord. Anchor our lives in your kingdom, Lord. So when the storms come, they don't decide who we are, Lord. Oh, Lord, we live in a world marked by woes, but teach us to live by the Beatitudes, Lord. Give us courage, Lord. I pray that you would give this congregation, all of us, Lord, courage, Lord. For you give courage to the weary. Give wisdom, Lord, as we act from day to day. Give us comfort, Lord, especially those of us who are going through suffering. Give us humility, Lord. Oh, Lord Jesus, may we live the kingdom anyway. Not because the world is ready, but because you are faithful in our lives. Again, Lord, we place our lives upon the foundation of our Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, Lord. And amen. So when you're living for the Lord and all of a sudden you find a little light over here, say, hey, look at this. Look, it's pretty. It's prettier than yours. It's just put your eyes on Jesus. When all of a sudden the persons you love the most are kind of doing things that irritate you, just remember, love them. It drives them nuts. Even for the fun of it, it drives them nuts when you love them. When you're ready to make a decision, and it's the world or Jesus, do it for Jesus. Try. I don't want to say try Jesus, but Jesus is the one who's going to win. If you don't, Jesus says, woe to you. You thought you had it made and you're flunking out. I can't bless that. Whoa, can't bless it. You can't bless it. Woe to you. No. So this is important. Your life as a Christ, as a Christian, as a disciple, is going to be tested and challenged. Jesus knew that. So Jesus knows that. Jesus knows the temptations you face. Jesus knows the decisions you need to make. Make them based on what he says to your heart and not what the world invites you to in. Because if you do, woe to you. That's why counselors have it made. Psychiatrists have it made because everybody goes, whoa. And the psychologists and psychiatrists have a field day because everybody's doing it their way instead of doing it his way. Can I hear an amen? All right, church, we're done. This is the day that the Lord has made. May the Lord bless you and keep you, and may the Lord cause his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you peace in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Greet one another in the love of the Lord. Amen.
We're so glad you're able to join us today. If you would like to watch the full service with the worship time included, you can check out our Facebook page. For more information about our church, go to our website at www.bbfoursquare.org. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God bless. See you next week.